been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek version of the Best Stocks Now show on this April 27th, 2022, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite, we'll be talking to during the show. And we've got a bounce after yesterday's clubbing that the market took. Once again, we are at important support levels, and I would expect the market to start building a bottom here and rallying off of that. That's my technical analysis of the market. Right now, the Dow is up 152. It's at 33,392. The NASDAQ is up 100 right now at 12,591. The S&P 500 up 29. 4204, and a 4200 seems to be kind of the level it wants to hang out at right now. Let's not forget the consensus target price for the S&P is way above where it's at now. So the risk to reward level has improved quite a bit in the market here recently. Crude oil is down $1.23. That's hurting the oil stocks a little bit. It's at $100.47. Gold is down $14 to $1,890. Silver's up a nickel. The 10-year has backed off quite a bit. We were pushing 3%. Now we're at 2.76. We're down 7 basis points today. And
narrative's changed quickly.
Oh, boy, I'll say. And is it a risk-on day or a risk-off? Usually we can look to Bitcoin. It seems to be kind of tepid here. Bitcoin's down $724 to $39,061. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show on this Wednesday, April 27th, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And we had a couple of big earnings reports, which we'll get to here in a bit. But we gotta mention yesterday before we move forward to today. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Well, the Dow was down 809 yesterday. That's the bad news. The good news is, if you look at long-term support of the market, it's right about here, maybe just under where we are right now. And just from a technical analysis point of view, I would expect the market to start building a bottom here. I think personally it's a good time to be looking for buys, but you have to be very, very specific as to where you're looking. I'm not going to say that it's time to go back in with guns blazing into the high-tech stocks. But the risk-to-reward ratio has improved considerably here in the markets. The best I've seen it in quite some time, several months for sure, even though the Dow was down 809. The NASDAQ yesterday was down 514 points. I know that ARK Funds' Kathy Wood hit another 52-week low. But I would just say that it looks pretty washed out to me, the markets, the NASDAQ. Not going ready to go back in with guns blazing, but Barry, I just think that some of the inverse funds that we've been carrying, we have some big profits there in a few of them. It may be time to lighten up just a little bit there and look for some buys on the positive side. And we did get some good earnings, at least from one company. Microsoft is up big today. That's one of our largest holdings still in tech. And across the board, Microsoft's up 4.3% so far today. And, it just looks to me like, after that big plunge yesterday, what do they call that? Capitulation?
Capitulation, right.
Let's hope.
Well, and I forward over, remember I forwarded over a handful of a couple of names that just seemed just PE ratios you haven't seen in a while.
They've
right?
gotten a lot cheaper.
It's just, when you see Google at 22 forward forward EPS and
AMD,
it could be compelling at some point, right?
Yes, I will be on the prowl today. I keep a list of, I have about four or five different groups that I go through every day. I go through the A-plus momentum stocks. I always want to see where the momentum is. I go through the top-ranked stocks in my app. B-pluses are better. I go through all of our holdings, obviously, every day, maybe a couple times a day. And then I kind of have a list of stocks that are proven winners in the past that are under heavy pressure. And looking for some opportunities along the way. That I'll probably be focused on that list the most today. Very high quality stocks, the AMDs, the Adobes of the world, the Googles, just to see if they've improved at all technically, to see if they've come down to valuation levels that are too good to pass up. We'll have to see about that. It's too early for me to say anything about that, the Teslas of the world, et cetera. Even Tesla, it got slammed yesterday, and that was a big part of Kathy Wood's ARK funds. That's her biggest holding by far.
Yeah, they were down roughly 9-10% when we were on the show yesterday. So.
And it was a lot, like you say, it was Elon kind of being... having his attention on his new little toy, Twitter. But Tesla is still the king of electric cars. I would expect the market to bounce around here. I don't expect a big rebound. I don't expect a hellacious kind of move out of the NASDAQ or the S&P off the bottom. Usually you have to kind of build the bottom. You have to make sure that all of the weak knees and the scared people have kind of gotten out of the way, have sold. Usually they're selling right about the bottom. That's why I would look at yesterday as maybe that capitulation day. And then you like to see a bottom being built, some confidence coming back into the market, some bargain hunters like me coming back into the market. Some lightening up of the short positions. There's been a lot of shorting taking place. Our SARC position, which is opposite ARC, I think it's up over 50% or something like that since we bought it. So we'll be looking here today. I think we might be at a turning point in the market. But you know what? I take it a day at a time, and I want to see some strength, and I want to see some confidence come back, okay? Geopolitics isn't helping. Russia continues to up the war rhetoric, calling the risk of nuclear war very real. That's not good. I mean, that's not good for confidence in the markets. And Moscow actually turned off the spigot yesterday to Poland and Bulgaria. I don't know what the status of that is right now. Maybe you can look during the break, Barry. Have they turned the spigot back on, or are they going to... weaponize natural gas, which I'm sure they will. They have no problem with doing that. But that should send natural gas high. In fact,
you would think so. And that one, that's the reason why there is because they wouldn't pay in rubles. So.
Yeah, they wouldn't pay in rubles. So natural gas is up 4.8% today. And if they would have agreed to pay in rubles, they would have pretty much broken the sanctions that they promised. So I don't know what the situation is. I was watching the BBC this morning, and it would seem that they're going to shut it off. That was the impression I got. Maybe you can look into that during the break. And the other big question is, what's going on with the China lockdown? They backed off yesterday from Beijing locking down. They're testing instead. But that could lead to another lockdown. And last time I looked, oil was down about $1 per barrel or so. It's still above 100. But that China situation is probably right now the biggest factor on gas prices. And then there's one other concern that all of a sudden has come up out of nowhere, seemingly, although it's been brewing for a long time. All of a sudden, the White House is admitting that they're concerned about Iranian nukes, that they could be a month away from having a nuclear weapon. And that raises a big question, you know. What will the mullahs in Iran do once they've got their hands on nuclear weapons? That's a scary thought, but it's something that we always have to keep in the back of our mind as we watch the situation around the world. At one point yesterday, European gas prices up 15%, and I'm not sure where we're at. I know Poland has a lot of storage of gas. There will be no shortage of gas there, but, you know, eventually you got to figure out what we're going to do going forward. All right, well, that's the setup. We'll get to some of these earnings, Microsoft, Google, a couple blowout earnings situations, Freeport way up today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the rally has fizzled, and that's what I would expect. I would expect some kind of seesaw action here, back and forth. That's kind of the bottom-building process. We'll see. The Dow's down 26 now after being up a couple hundred, 33,220, and the S&P or the NASDAQ is down 12 now, and the S&P's about flat. So easy come, easy go so far, but there are still some pretty good individual winners in the market. And it appears to me, just looking at the news, it looks to me like the gas is still shut off. They don't have any intention of turning it back on to Poland and Bulgaria. Bulgaria gets 90% of their gas from Russia, and Poland gets about 50%. So they're looking elsewhere for other suppliers. Germany, that's the big one. You know, Germany really depends on that cheap and abundant natural gas. That drives their economy. It drives their, you know, everyday life. It heats their homes in Germany. But that one we haven't heard any updates on. Okay, now, here's some proof or here's some evidence of where the strength of the market continues to be. Look at Archer Daniels Midland. Grain markets tighten. You know, gas gets all the headlines, oil and natural gas get all the headlines, but there's going to be a tremendous shortage of grain. Archer Daniel Midlands is going against the grain. It was up yesterday on the big down day. On bullish commentary on the supply chain shocks, the Chicago-based Food Processing and Commodities Trading Corporation reported earnings of $1.90 for the quarter. The expectations were $1.41. Revenues also dwarfed estimates as the reported figure of $23.7 billion. That was $3 billion above the bar set by Wall Street. And here's what Archer Daniels Midland had to say. Management noted that the supply disruptions and poor crop yields globally will remain conducive to the company's bottom line for the foreseeable future. They expect reduced crop supplies caused by the weak Canadian canola crop, the short South American crops, and now the disruptions in the Black Sea region. The drive continued tightness in global grain markets for the next few years. Well, it hasn't really shown up yet in the supermarket, but that's something to keep your eye on. And I continue to be very bullish on the ag stocks, the ag sector. You know, just compare Archer Daniel Midland's big beat there with a sexier stock like Alphabet. How's it doing right now? Let's see. Google, G-O-O-G-L, is currently down 2.4%, actually. That's not a good chart either. I mean, that's a chart that hasn't found a bottom yet. So, yes, I agree. The forward PE has improved greatly.
20 and a half on a Google. Which,
yes, it's very cheap. I would want to see the chart is still in a number four downtrend. And, you know, I don't like to buy downtrends unless you happen to catch the day it decides to bottom out. I'd like to see it kind of find a bottom, which it has not found yet. I'm just going to look at this support level here. Obviously, I mean, they own the search engine market, which is a very valuable market to own. I could see Google. Yeah, it's nearing 2,100 maybe. I'm going to take a closer look at it here today. The relative strength on Google or Alphabet right now is 55. So it's just very, very weak stock. Along with the rest of FANG, all of FANG is weak. Amazon stock relative strength. Amazon is trying to find a bottom too, and it's very close to its bottom at about 2,600. It's at 2,736. So we'll be looking at these stocks today, looking for some kind of a bottom, some kind of indication that the sellers have exhausted their dumping of these stocks. And the buying is starting to come back in. But the ag stocks, the grain, continues to look very, very bullish on the bullish side of the ledger. Another one that people are talking about here, you know, since Netflix reported their earnings, which was a bomb, and Florida kind of took on Disney, taking away their sovereign status, you know, Disney's down 17% since then. And there's a lot of people looking at Disney, too, right now. That's a terrible chart on Disney.
Well, and they've got to be getting hurt, you know, I guess worldwide, right? And with the Shanghai, you know, they have the unit over there. I mean, there's a number of them. They're taking it in a handful of different ways.
Yes, they are. 23 times forward earnings is where Disney's at. But you know what? I don't like that chart at all on Disney. So I bet the dividend yield is way up here. The dividend, no, they don't pay a dividend. I thought they were a dividend payer, but they're not. Okay, so anyways, I don't think it's time to buy. There's a big article in Seeking Alpha today. With this big drop in Disney, is it time to buy? I would definitely say no. Not time to buy. The theme parks are bouncing back a little bit, but the streaming business and the sentiment against Disney is pretty bad right now. Now, here's the one that encourages me more than anything, Barry. Of all the earnings reports that I went through this morning, Visa. Visa just had a blowout earnings report. Their earnings up 30%, their sales up 25%. It's hard to look at Visa and say that we're going into a recession.
Yeah, American consumer still fitting its bill.
Plenty strong. Visa earnings climb on robust spending and travel recovery. So, you know, look, that's not – Visa is a pretty good bellwether for the U.S. economy. I mean, that's the front line, okay? At the end of the day, most of us are pulling out a Visa or MasterCard or debit card or whatever to make the payment as a consumer. And Visa's revenue beat by $7 billion. So there's a couple good areas of the market. Archer Daniel Midland, the coal stocks are doing very well right now, having a big day. The natural gas stocks still look good, but I think Visa is a bellwether for the U.S. economy. The U.S. economy, driven by the consumer, looks to be pretty healthy right now, and that's why I would continue to say that I think the market has finally washed out and building a bottom here. The risk-to-reward ratio has improved greatly over the last couple of months. Well, we'll see. It's time to get out the shopping cart. We'll be right back. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we've got to talk about Microsoft for sure because it was the big one after the close yesterday and probably the best earnings report by a tech stock so far this earnings season. We haven't heard from Apple yet. But Microsoft definitely had an excellent report. And, in fact, Dan Ives at Wedbush, he said it was the guidance heard around the world. Well, they're known for big statements like that over at Wedbush. But
yeah, quite a statement right there.
That's quite a statement. But he says that the guidance provided by CEO Satya Nadella and team was one for the ages and should help calm the fears of investors. Well, that's probably our largest tech position, along with Apple. But Microsoft, you know, especially the cloud part of their business and the cybersecurity part of their business was really outstanding, an outstanding report. And, you know, they're claiming that this was going to really affect a lot of the stocks in these sectors going forward. Here's a couple of target prices out on Microsoft today. Let's see. Microsoft right now is up it's up 4.6%. That's pretty good. It's at 283. Okay, at 283. We've been talking about it, how remarkable 23% growth over the last 5 years. This is not a small company. This is a $2 trillion company still growing. This report here came in at about 18% growth in sales, 14% growth in earnings. But over the last 5 years, they've delivered 23% on average growth in earnings. Okay, so now the stock is trading at $283. Wedbush has a target price of $340. That's some pretty good upside potential there, over 20%. And I saw another firm, Bank of America, has Microsoft at a buy with a $365 target price compared to $283. That's over 30% upside potential. Yeah. And like I say, I just think, you know, the risk to reward. Now, let's not forget, Microsoft was recently at those numbers. It was at 350 not that long ago. Now it's at 280. So the risk to reward level on the market, depending on the stock, but also the overall market has improved greatly. Microsoft got as low as 270, so I'm going to say that's your downside risk. And upside potential to 365 or so, that's a pretty good risk-to-reward ratio. That would be one I might look at adding to today for new clients that have come aboard here recently. Microsoft has a relative strength of 58. It's pretty neutral right now, but I would think that this earnings report might set it in motion. It's hard for me to imagine a big sell-off coming in stock after a good report like that. So, and overall, you know, just watching these earnings come in, for the most part, everybody seems to be beating earnings, 80% of the companies. Okay, the next one, Chipotle. Your favorite restaurant, right, Barry? You like going to
Chipotle? Yeah, well, innovation-wise, yeah, I mean, it's actually the best one for me to go by and pick up for kids in terms of the online ordering. But yeah, for my also from a just a combination of technology and stuff we can eat, right?
They've now, have you noticed their prices have gone up quite a bit though recently?
Sure.
Over the
And they have over, whether it's been avocados, right, certain things that they've, some of those certain, you know, commodities that they use heavily, and they've,
yeah,
and you've certainly seen them pass beef. Those on along the way.
It's not, I mean, it's not a cheap place to go anymore. I'm not interested in the stock, however. At 56 times their earnings, it gets a glamour multiple because of the loyal following that it has, very popular amongst certain age groups. And, you know, I liked it. I've owned it in the past, but in a rising PE or a rising interest rate environment, I can't plunk down 56 times earnings for Chipotle. And you know what? Their quarter, their earnings were up 6%. That's pretty low. I think they're getting squeezed on their margins.
Right.
And sales were up 16%. And, you know, they've averaged more in the 35 to 40% growth range of earnings. So for me, 6% is not all that exciting. It did beat expectations. And I worry about that whole space, the restaurant space, with inflation. It seems to me like they're on the wrong side of the street there. General Motors never seems to impress. It didn't impress again. That's a terrible chart. It just is amazing to me that all these Teslas are out there. I don't know how many he sold from day one. And GM and Ford have completely missed the whole opportunity there. And, you know, the Chevy Bolt, I see you can't even drive it into a parking garage because they catch fire. And, you know, just, I don't know. It's just the legacy auto, especially General Motors, it just seems so bureaucratic and so full of fat and waste. And there's just not much innovation there. And GM, once again, not a very good earnings report. And now Boeing. You wonder if Boeing's going to need a government bailout. They lost a lot of money. They've lost a lot of money since they had 2020. They had the COVID and the travel restrictions. They had the disaster
the
with
the issue before
the
that.
Max. And that's a big reason why you've seen some of the gains come out of the Dow. Boeing is down 11.7%. And they are taking it on the chin. Look at these quarters they're put. They lost $7.69 in the fourth quarter of last year. And this quarter that they just reported, they lost another $2.75 per share. This year, they're expected to lose $9.43 per share. Maybe getting back to even by the end of the year. But this is a terrible quarter that Boeing put up. Relative strength of 25. Okay, all you value investors, you true value investors, step forward and buy Boeing, why don't you? I remember when Boeing was one of the great stocks you could own. Boeing was $446 a share in 2019.
What's the PE on Boeing? I'm pulling it up real quick.
It doesn't have one because they have losses over the last 2 years. They lost money in 53. And their forward PE, maybe 25, somewhere in there, if they can get profitable again. That would be one that I would continue to avoid is Boeing. Okay, Lucid. Let's go look at first. Let's look at Tesla. Okay, how is Tesla? Tesla would be one. You know, it's sitting on its 200-day moving average. 896 is where it's at. We'll keep our eye on Tesla. I think probably the one that will eventually take second place is Lucid. Lucid is up 3.3% today. They got a big deal with the Saudi Arabian government. And it's interesting that they chose Lucid, L-C-I-D. If I were going to look at the second place, it wouldn't be GM. Maybe Ford with their trucks, but I think Lucid's eventually going to be a player in the electric high performance vehicle. Robinhood, terrible. Oh, that stock. I warned everybody against that stock. I said, you know what? They're going after just, you know, they're going after low net worth people, which is fine, but it's not profitable. And they continue to bleed money, and now they're laying off a bunch of people. Robinhood is now $9.46 a share. Believe it or not, it got up to 85 on the day it went public. We should have shorted it. We should have shorted the heck out of Hood. Robinhood from 85 cleared down to $9.45 per share. Okay, one last one here. There's some activity in the solar sector today. I find that area of the market to be uninvestable. I really do. It's so dang unpredictable. Supply chain problems. The stocks are volatile like you cannot believe. Enphase is up 10.4%. It's lifting other solar stocks with it. But I just continue to avoid the solar and wind sector. Okay, what's jumping off the page today? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, just as I predicted, the market is bouncing all over the place today, which is usually the beginning of a bottoming formation. We'll see. The NASDAQ is now up 86. The Dow is now up 129. It's been up, down, and now up once again. I would say Microsoft having a big impact on the NASDAQ, and I would say Boeing having that would be up a heck of a lot more than it is if it were not for Boeing. And Visa also impacting the Dow to the upside. It's up 8.2%. So those are your three biggest market-moving stocks today. Okay, now we have a few winners in our portfolios here today. We'll begin with Tech Resources, TECK. It's not a big position, but we do own it. I still continue to be very bullish on hard assets, commodities, things you can hold in your hand, tangible assets, short-term duration type stuff. Tech Resources is in our ultra growth portfolio. So it is a fairly large position, I guess. It's up 10.9% today. Here's what they're in the business of: coal, copper, zinc, molybdenum, gold, and lead. Get the lead out. They're in Canada mostly, the U.S., a little bit down in Chile and Peru. But here's one of your examples of a high relative strength and a low P.E. ratio. Relative strength is 96. That means it's one of the strongest. Now, we were just talking about some of these leading tech stocks. Their relative strength is in the low 50s. Not very good, okay? Tech is 96. It's interesting that they have a name, Tech, T-E-C-K. We do like a tech stock. Barry, we like Tech Resources.
Yeah,
but it's not a tech stock. It's molybdenum.
Not a C-H here.
No. Tech is a $21 billion powerhouse commodity stock out of Canada. Pays a little dividend yield, 1%. And one of the biggest percent gainers in the entire market today, and it's gathering steam here as we speak, 11.5% to the upside on big volume.
Yeah, the profits also popped 5% on stronger copper sales. So
yeah, the copper part of it
did well from a profitability standpoint.
And that is lifting another copper stock, which has been under a little pressure recently, Freeport-McMoRan. It's having a good day, I would say, in sympathy with Tech. Freeport's even bigger than Tech. Freeport is a $61 billion market cap. It's about three times the size of Tech. It pays a bigger dividend yield, 1.4%. Its relative strength is 84, so not 96. It's not as hot as tech is. And its P.E. ratio is 11. That's still a pretty good relative strength to P.E. ratio. So there's a couple, T-E-C-K, tech, the tech stock we like, and Freeport-McMoRan, FCX. Now, I have to mention on the downside, this is poor Kathy Wood under pressure again today. She's getting clobbered. I know she owns a big position in Spotify, which, you know, has been in the news with Joe Rogan, and I know the Michelle and Barack Obama quit, didn't renew their contract with Spotify. They're getting a bigger deal from somebody else. That's an ugly chart. Yeah, I look at Spotify, you know, Sirius Radio never really did make it. They made that attempt. They took Howard Stern into space on the satellite, and you had to subscribe to get to be able to listen to Howard Stern. And they've done, now Spotify's gone that same direction with signing up the Obamas and signing up Joe Rogan, etc. But it hasn't been a winning formula. That stock's down 11.4% today. 11.4%. Their sales are up 15%. No problem with sales. But they have yet to turn a profit. That's a problem. Spotify down 11.3%. And poor Kathy Wood, yesterday it was Tesla. Today it's Spotify. And I know that's one of her biggest positions. But, you know, that's a highly followed stock. It's $19 billion. Okay, and the last one I will mention here, I think it's pretty cheap myself, and it's pulled back considerably on all this China business. Cleveland Cliffs. Not the Cleveland Guardians. That's the new name for the Cleveland Indians, the Guardians. Cleveland Cliffs, iron ore pellets, which China has a big... It seems to rise and fall with how China's doing. And, you know, we'll have to watch that Beijing, whether or not they're going to lock down Beijing. But Cleveland Cliffs probably has the biggest disparity. It's got a 97 relative strength and a P.E. of 4. So those are my four for the day, with Spotify being the dog of the day. Very disappointing out of Spotify. But very good on tech resources, the Freeport-McMoRan, and Cleveland Cliffs. All right, are you stuck in a bunch of bond funds getting whacked? Are you still in the high tech stuff getting clobbered? Those are still bad places to be. Are you in a passive portfolio in a very active world? You can start off digging into us a little bit by getting the newsletter that I put out every week. It's my internal research that I do as a professional money manager over the last 23 years. I send it out only to my clients and my subscribers. I offer 2 free weeks on the air here at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to call us and set up an appointment and have a chit-chat with us, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Tell us what you got. We'll tell us what we think about it and see if we can improve on your plan or what you're in currently. Still a dangerous market for sure, especially in certain areas that are very, very sensitive to rising interest rates. You got to be really careful because it looks like rates are going to continue to move higher. And that's the wind in the face of a lot of different areas of the market that you got to avoid at this point in time. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.